Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Do thank God for just allowing us to be here one more time. Amen. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Amen. It's always a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I want to give honor to Christ, who I try to live for all the days of my life. Amen. Give honor to Pastor Knowles, his wife, Gunner, to my wife, and all the saints of God. Amen. He's truly worthy to be praised. He's truly worthy to be praised. Amen. Just thank God for being here. Amen. I just thank God for Pastor Knowles giving me an opportunity. Amen. Because it don't have to be that way. Amen. I do thank God. Like I said before, a lot of times on Wednesday night, unless the Spirit just moves me, seems like it's more of a Bible study instead of a preaching message. But we're going to see what that says the Lord. Amen. I guess I use the frame, the words, Pastor Noah said, kick the ball around, I guess. Amen. And just speak a little bit about a few things. Amen. If you would, we'll stand for me as I read these first set of scriptures, if you don't mind. I'll go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And I'll start at the first verse. Amen. And it says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. And the thought, I was talking to Brother Desmond back there before service, thought came to mind, just keep fighting. Just keep fighting. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to bless this word, Lord. Bless all those that are here, Lord. Bless all the hearers of the word, Lord. Bless the speaker of the word, but most importantly, Lord, bless the doer of the word of God, Lord. Just help us in this day, in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Amen. Again, just keep fighting. It's nothing big. It just came to me just very simply, just keep fighting. And I was listening to Brother Desmond. He began to talk to me back there. And God will do that for you. He'll just give you a witness to the word of God. And he just started talking to me. And Brother Desmond, you don't know, but you were just witnessing to the word. I was like, man, stop it. Okay, stop it. Okay. I hear what you're saying. But and what he was saying is so true that we got to be mindful of the times and the seasons that are upon us. This is not a time to play church. This is not a time to see how much of the world we can get. This is, as the gloves are, this is putting up your dukes time. This is time to fight. This is not time to fold. This is not time to give in. This is not time to tuck our tail and run. This is a time to fight. The scripture says, but of the times and the season, the first verse, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. The Bible speak about two men in a bed. One shall be taken and the other left. Two people going to be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. This is a time to fight. Because we don't know when that day comes. Now, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we definitely don't know when he's coming back for us. He don't have to come back on the clouds to rapture me up. All he got to do is call my name and my number, and then life as I know it will be over. But the scripture says of the times and the season, we can see what's going on in this earth. We see that men are lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures more than God. They do all kind of things that is against God's will and word. Men with men and women with women. We can see the times and the seasons. And we know that this is nothing but the devil taking more and more I don't want to say authority, but God is unleashing him more and more to do his thing because his time, Jesus' time, is soon to come. The Bible says, for the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now, if you would, or let's stay there for a minute. Go to the fourth verse, amen, or excuse me, third verse. And it says, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, all those that had children, women, well, they had to be a woman, couldn't be a man. Had to be a woman. Women, you can testify that when that time comes, it just happened like all of a sudden. When the water break, it happens just all of a sudden. You maybe knew that as your pregnancy got further along, that maybe you was longer in months and weeks and things of that nature, and that time that the doctor told you was soon to come, but you didn't know the exact day or the exact hour. Just as a woman in travail, we don't know the exact day or the exact hour when Jesus is going to come, and not just him coming on a cloud, coming for us. The devil will try to discourage us. The devil will try to tell us that our fighting is in vain. But the Bible tells us, don't forget, God is faithful not to forget our labor of love. The things that we do for God, like my mother used to say, or always used to say, is never thrown away. It's never thrown. The good that we do for God is never thrown away. The Bible speaks about our prayers being in vows. Our prayers, because there are some times we might can't pray as we should. Because if you live any length of time in this life, sometimes this world can beat you down so low, where it feels like you don't have the strength to pray. You don't have the strength to seek God like you should. But when you do have the strength, when things seem to be going okay in your life, that's not the time to relax. That's the time to store up those prayers. Because we never know what could come in this lifetime that we might need those prayers when we can't get on our knees at that time. I remember there was an old mother that used to say at the other church, matter of fact, the church I grew up in, she used to say that she can always, when she worked, I think it was a restaurant, Red Lobster or something like that, she can always get on her knees and pray, but she was constantly praying her mind. Why is she working? Constantly keeping God up before in her mind. Praying in her mind, because we never know when we are going to need God in a big way. So we got to constantly put and stir up those prayers for us at a time that we might not be able to pray. And some say, well, that'll be never be a time that I won't be able to pray. Well, if something go on in your body bad enough, Or if you're laying in your in a hospital bed and you're wrecking with pain, sometimes your mind ain't quite like it should be to really get an effective prayer through. Or if you get news that your children or your child is very sick, or there's experiencing a hard trial or trouble, your mind might not be always there to get effective prayer through. Because that's just life. That's just life. But we got to store up prayers, and we got to fight when we have a chance to fight. All the time we might not have a chance to fight in a spiritual realm. But when we have a chance to fight, that's what we need to do. The fourth verse says, but ye brethren, we are not in darkness. We are not in darkness. We know better. The Bible tells us that we are not ignorant to Satan's devices. We know that Satan is coming and trying to tempt us. We know Satan is trying to attack our families. We know that Satan is trying to attack our health. We know that Satan is trying to attack our mind, and even more so our spiritual man. We're not ignorant to that. We know that that's the devil's job. He come to kill, steal, and to destroy. That's his job. But God come that he might give us life, and he might give it to us more abundantly. But we got to fight. And we're going to talk in just a little bit. Go with me, amen, to the Luke 17. Luke 17. I just read a few scriptures out of Luke 17 at the first verse, and it says, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. We got to purchase in our mind that things are going to come against us. We got to be in some way okay with things coming against us. Because the scripture says offenses will come. Anyone that live godly shall suffer persecution. Don't think, and yes, God will make everything all right, but we are going to have to suffer down here. But that don't mean God won't take us out of that suffering. One day, God is going to change everything around. But we do have to go through a test. How could we be perfected if we didn't get tried by the fire? How could we be made pure as gold if we didn't go through the fire? The Bible said, thinking that strange concerning the fiery trials. Don't think it's strange. Like some strange thing happened to you or me. Don't think it's strange. They're here to test us. But at the same time, even while it's testing us, we just got to keep on fighting. We might not understand why I'm going through. We might not understand why it always seems like something is going on with me. And everybody got to be making personal for themselves. You might not understand why it seems like everything is always going wrong with me. You got to see it for yourself. But why it seems like I get over one health crisis, there go another. It seems like when I get out of debt here go another debt. It seems like once this child started acting better, now that child started cutting up. Amen, somebody. It seems like it's always something I just made up with this brother in the Lord. Now this brother don't like me. Amen, somebody. But that's what the devil will do. Amen. The Bible says, this first verse said, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto whom? Unto him through whom they come. We know that we're going to have to go through things. We know that offense is going to come, but those people that commit those offenses, that ain't good. When the Bible says woe, that's not good. We got somebody that's fighting on our behalf. It's just like, and I guess we could break it down like this. If you had if you was that little brother or sister, but if you had a little brother or sister that, you know, maybe got into it with somebody back, and then I'm just thinking back in elementary school myself. They might have got into it with somebody, but now they need help. They go get the big brother or sister. You got to help me with these people over here, or this bully, or whoever this is. But one thing about it, if there's a several people, when I tell you about these people, my little brother or sister, they can't just stand there and watch. They got to help too. You told me about the problem, the situation, but you just can't leave it all in the big brother, big sister hands. You got to help fight too. We can tell Jesus about our problems, but we still got some fighting to do ourselves. God can handle any and everything, but sometimes God wants to see what we're going to put into something. How much effort we're going to put into something. I told my son here recently, probably in the last month or so, a situation he got himself into. And I said, well, I don't mind helping you, but I got to see what you're going to do. Amen, somebody. I'm not going to do it all for you. You got to do some, really, you got to do most of it. I come in where you can't do. But if you got yourself into something, you got to work hard to get your own self out. Because if I do everything for you, you ain't learning nothing. But if we just tell God everything and we go through everything very easily, what are we learning? What are we learning every time we call on God for everything? God, I got a hang there. Will you take care of it for me? And God, take care of it too. God, I got this going on. Can you do this? And everything, I just call on the Lord. And what am I really learning? There's some things I got to suffer. There's sometimes I got to go through things so I can learn from those things. Amen, somebody. The scripture says to that woe person, the second verse, it were better for him that a millstone were hanging about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. That scripture in there right there is for all of us to say, don't worry about it. God is going to take care of them. He's going to reward them for the evil that they do. But we got to do what? We got to keep fighting. He's going to reward those that talk about us, but we got to keep fighting. He's going to reward those for the evil that they do when they talk about you behind your back, but we got to still show them love. We got to keep fighting. We can't expect everybody to be our friend if we call ourselves serving God. Because darkness hate light. And if we are children of the light, darkness ain't going to be our friend. We got to just keep fighting because they're not going to be our friend. Amen. Third verse says, take heed to yourselves. Now, this is us. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Sometimes we can do that. But now this one, it would get real hard. Fourth verse said, if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Don't raise your hand. How many of you are perfected in that way? Don't raise your hand, though. Hey, don't raise your hand. I love you, Brother Jose. But if you slap me 7 times, yes, we're going to have to talk to God about this soon. Amen. Jose, you know Brother, I'm going to mess with you. But no, we got to be perfected in every way. But the scripture says that if your brother trespass against thee seven times in a day and seven times in a day turn again and say, I repent and forgive me, you're supposed to forgive that brother or sister. Now, again, we all got to walk in wisdom. If your brother or sister offended you that many times, it's probably best to kind of move away from that brother or sister. Like, try to, you know, because the devil can get into things. But offenses will come. The fifth verse says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, why would he say increase our faith then? Why would he say increase our faith then? The Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please him. Could it be that if my brother trespassed against me seven times that I'm not really going to forgive him? Because I don't believe that God is going to take care of it? Could it be that? Could it be that I don't really believe that God is going to do what he said he'll do? Because just up in a few scriptures before, he told woe unto them. It was better for them that a millstone were hanging about their neck and they be cast into the sea than offend one of God's little ones. But now when God tell me, don't worry, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to the devil and evil. Now when he tell me to forgive him, now I don't want to do that. Now I need God to increase my faith. Because do we really believe like we say we believe? But now there's another scripture. I'm going to go to it in just a second. And it said, and the Lord, sixth verse, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, how many believe that? That you can speak to a tree and have it planted in the sea? Now, I heard you say something, Brother Harper. Say that one more time. We should believe. But do we really believe like that? No. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't know you, and I know everything. God ain't showed me everything about you, but this one thing I do believe. That you, me, right now, don't believe that we can speak to a tree and have it be plucked up. But now God is saying, why not? Why? Why I don't have the faith to do these things? Why I don't have the faith to speak to this tree, to speak to mountains, and make them be moved? Why don't I have the faith like that? Because of unbelief. I know, we don't want to admit it, but it's unbelief. Why, if God say I can do these things, why don't I believe I can do these things? Oh, well, it's more than that. Let's go Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We have to be careful. And we have to be careful that the devil don't make a liar out of us. That he don't make us also, what we used to say back in the day, a scaredy cat. A scaredy cat, however you say it. We can be so fearful that we don't exercise the faith that God wants us to have. The Bible speak about faith and it speak about fear. And the Bible says fear is torment. Fear is torment, because he that fear is not perfected in what? He's not perfected in love. There is no fear with perfect love. No fear. I'm not afraid of anything that the devil bring to me because I'm perfected in love. Say, well, how am I perfected in love? Well, there's a lot of things that go into loving one another, loving yourself, loving God. with all your heart, your mind, your body, your soul. There's a lot of things that go into it, but if I'm not perfected, then I will fear that I can't speak to a tree. If I'm not perfected in love, I will fear that I can't speak to a mountain. But I got to be perfected. 12:1 of Hebrews says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Think about that. Run the race. Keep fighting. Let's go to the same. Keeping running. Keep fighting. That goes the same. It says, we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses of what God can do, what God have done. Why don't we believe? We know what God done. We don't see it in the scriptures. We don't see it with our own eyes. We don't heard it with our own ears. We have tasted of the goodness of Jesus. Why don't I believe? Why am I so fearful that if God brought me through those several things that he brought me through down through the years, he won't bring me through this? Why am I so fearful? The Bible says we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, examples, people that have been through this thing. People that have sat in some of the same places that I'm going through and that I'm in right now. We have people that have experienced the same things that I went through, that I'm going through, and they have came out on the other side. Why don't I believe? It says, but let us lay aside every weight. Now, some people say, well, I don't sin. I treat people right. I don't do this. I don't do that. But you don't have to sin to have a weight. Amen, somebody. You don't have to sin to have weight on you. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. That's two. You can have a weight and you can have a sin, or you can have both, whatever the case is. But just because you're not fornicating, you're not committing adultery, you're not murdering nobody, you're not a liar or a backbiter, but sometimes there are some things that can be a weight. That's very true. Matter of fact, not more than just something. There's a lot of things that can be a weight. If we're not careful, our own mind can be a weight to us. Our own mind can be a fight to us. That don't mean you're sinning. And I heard a preacher say it like this. We can't let our mind get caught up in everything. We always want to look at everything. Yes, YouTube ain't wrong. Yes, Facebook in itself ain't wrong. The internet in itself ain't wrong. But if I'm not careful, if I start researching and searching and streaming and scamming and all that kind of stuff all the time, guess what? That might not be a sin. But guess what it is? It don't became a weight. When I'm steady strolling on my phone all the time, how can I really concentrate on the Lord? How can I really get into my scriptures, my word, if I'm constantly disturbing, got my mind blocked on doing everything else but him? It don't have to be the phone. It don't have to be the internet. Some of our brothers like to hunt and fish and all these kind of things. But if I'm not careful, I like sports. If I'm not careful, I'll be rooting for the football game. And then I'll be getting my mind off the Lord. I could talk about myself. The Bible tells us. Confess. I could talk about myself. If I'm not careful, I'll be all into the sports. Where is my praying? Where is my fasting? Where is my seeking God? Ooh, me. Ooh, and oh, me. I got to lay aside because guess what? Even though watching the game ain't a sin, but it can be a what? It can be a weight. Scripture said, lay aside every weight and the sin. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, second verse, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't even take it to heart. Got rid of, despise the shame. Now, we be too, what do some people say, shame faces. We get too embarrassed. We got to get out of a thing. Jesus didn't let the shame stop him from going to the cross. He didn't let the shame stop him from dying for me and for you. It was shameful to be hung on a cross. That wasn't a glorious thing. And I thought about this because I heard somebody say months or weeks ago or whatever it might have been, a few years ago, that people glorify having a cross around their neck and things of that nature. But at one time, that was shameful. You didn't want to be attached to that, a cross. Now people display it proudly, and they don't realize what the cross really meant. They don't realize the sacrifice and the blood that was shed on that same cross that we're trying to display like it's some hip-hop thing. Now it's cool to get a cross tattoo or a cross necklace and all those type of things, but it was shameful. And there was some true blood, sweat, and tears that was shed on that cross that Jesus was on. Shameful. It said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What the scripture is trying to say, look at Jesus and look what he went through. While we're complaining about what we go through on a daily basis, and the scripture is going to say we wasn't nailed to a cross. The scripture is going to say that, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. And it said, the very next verse, it said, the fourth verse said, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. How many pints of blood have I wasted out of my body when I stood up for God? The Bible said, we have not even resisted unto blood. Nobody ain't nailed me to no cross. Nobody haven't pierced me in the side. Nobody haven't plucked out my beard. Nobody didn't put a crown of thorns on my head. And the scripture is not in this place, but in another place saying that, what if you be buffeted for your own faults? Jesus didn't have no sin. Don't glory in yourself when you be buffeted for something that you did wrong. But Jesus did no wrong. There was no guile found in his mouth, and he was nailed to a cross. He was whipped over and over. Thorns were put on his head. I don't even like a prick to prick my finger. But thorns was planted on his head. And he was nailed. Not these little nails. He was nailed like stakes in his hands and in his feet. But then I complain about what I go through. How can I complain about what I go through? I went through nothing compared to him. And even some of the things that I went through in my life, I put it on myself. I put it on myself. And then if my mind is bogged down, it's bogged down because I'm trying to do something, eat in everything. The scripture tells me don't be many masters. I'm trying to do too much. I'm trying to be in too much. But then I talk to God about my mind being full and bothered. That's something that I put on myself. But Jesus, he only saw good for me. He shed blood for me. He suffered for me. He was talked about. He was spit on for me. But then I have the nerve to complain. I tell people constantly, I like the song say, I could probably complain, but I don't have nothing to complain about. I didn't get spit on for the gospel. How many of us not want to get spit on? If they get spit on, would they turn around and say, bless you anyway, brother or sister? I know. I'm not there yet either. I know. But that's where we got to be. If we plan on going back with Christ, I got to love you just that much. If you, all that kind of stuff, and put it in my face. That's right. That's right. If I'm trying to preach the gospel, if I'm trying to live for the gospel, if I'm a witness to somebody and they don't like what I'm saying and they do all that and spit in my face, I'm supposed to be able to turn the other cheek and love them anyway. I know it's hard. That's why we got to keep fighting. We haven't resisted to blood. Not yet. But there are some people, and I was talking to Brother Desmond back there, there are some people in other countries that have been beheaded for Christ. Some people have went through great things. Not me. Not yet. So how and why should I complain about what I go through? The Bible speaks about everybody in this life, the just and the unjust, is going to go through things. None of us are exempt. Even the world, they just handle it a different way. But they go through things too. In this life, we're going to have to go through things, but we got to keep on fighting. We got to keep on fighting. There is no time for us to give up now. We're too close to the end. We see what's going on in this world. We are too close to the end. Song that says, there were many that started out with me. But now they're going astray. I'm still here. And I'm still holding on. Sometimes my fight ain't just punching back. But our fight could just be to not die. Our fight could be just to hold on just a little bit longer. Hold on for one more day. And when I get to that day, I hold on for that day. And when I get to the next day, I hold on for that day. And then sometimes when it get rough enough, we have to hold on each hour. And then when it gets even rougher, we have to hold on for each minute. And when it gets even rougher, we have to hold on for each moment. That's how we continue to fight. We don't let the devil defeat us. The only time we can be defeated in God is when we stop fighting. As long as I'm still fighting, I got a chance. As long as I'm still fighting, I'm not dead yet. As long as I'm still fighting, I can see the other side. You think about, and those that know anything about, I see the glove about boxing. Any boxer could be getting whooped for round after round after round. But as long as he didn't go down, he can throw that one punch and catch the other one the right way. And he knock him out. And he win the fight. But he won because he didn't give up. We don't know what God will do in the latter end. But we can't give up now. We are too close. We can't give up now. There are things that we're going to go through on a daily basis, but we still can't stop fighting. We still can't throw in the towel, so to speak. We still can't get so discouraged where we don't want to live for Christ no more. We're going to go through things, and that's okay. That's why we got brothers and sisters in Christ to help us and encourage us to go through things. We can't do it all by ourselves. Yep. There is nobody in this building or anywhere else that name the name of Christ that think that they can be saved all by themselves. No. I need you, Brother Harper. I need you, Brother Plum. I need you, sister. I need you, sister. I need you, sister. And even though you might not think I need you, but I need your prayers. I need your prayers because I can't make it by myself. I cannot make it by myself. My strength in itself is not good enough. But with Jesus and with my brothers and sisters, I can go through anything. I can make it through anything. I can keep on holding on. Because that prayer that you prayed for me, Sister Toya, that might be just what I needed to hang on just a little while longer. The Bible said weeping may endure for the night, but joy come in the morning. And the thing about God, this is the thing about God. When you go back, I don't know if I shared it with Brother Harper, somebody I was talking to one time out to eat. When you think about God, even in Genesis, it says the night and the morning was the first day. We think about the day and the night was the first day. The Bible said the night and the morning was the first day. So what I say to that is this, your morning, it don't have to be on the next day. It could be whenever God chooses for your morning to be. It could be dark outside or it could be light. God can say, this is your morning. You might have weeped before now, but this is your morning. You might have went through a lot of things, but this is your morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy come in the morning. And this could be your morning. I don't care if it's dark outside, it's light outside, it's 12 noon, it's 6 p.m. Evening, or it's 9 a.m. in the morning. God can make our morning be at any time. At any time. I did have a few other scriptures, but I'm going to cut this off here. But I do want you to understand that we got to keep fighting. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know sometimes it don't look good. It don't smell good. It don't taste good. But we got to keep fighting. If we see our brother or sister going through something, the Bible speak about helping that brother or sister up. Don't just talk about them. I know they might be going through, but don't just talk about them. Help that brother or sister up. Because we don't know if we might be in that very same predicament one day. Bible said, consider yourself. At least ye also what? We got to consider ourselves. Oh, I wouldn't go through that trial like that. You don't know what you'll do until you get into that situation. But I know this. If we got Christ, we can make it. As long as we don't give up, we still got a chance. Just keep fighting. Pray my strength in the Lord.
Everybody say praise the Lord. I got my boxing gloves on. I'm just going to keep fighting. But the fight in the spirit is just showing up. Being here on Wednesday, being here on Sunday, worshiping when you get here, engaging with the spirit, rolling your sleeves up and letting God do what he wants to do in your life. Wonderful message, Brother Brown. A very timely message is the way I felt the message was. And I don't know what you said. My wife leaned over to me and she said she prayed for something specific on the way to church. And I think that got answered in the message. But I'm not going to quit. We've come too far. We've seen way too much. too many testimonies. No God is able. And we're just going to keep pushing and keep fighting. And it don't matter what comes our way. I was thinking about John the Baptist in the 11th chapter of Matthew, where he's in prison. And, you know, he was the forerunner to Christ and his cousin. And he's the one that paved the way. And he's sitting in prison. And Jesus hadn't come to see him. You kind of would think he could swing by and kind of help me out, you know. I got Herod's fixing to chop my head off. And I'm sitting down here in this prison. And guess what he had been doing? I mean, his sin was so egregious, he was preaching the gospel. And he got to thinking, you know, you get inside that prison cell and a little bit of doubt creep up in your spirit. And you start thinking, I don't know, did I miss this? And he told his disciples, he said, you go find Jesus. And you ask him if he's the Messiah or should we look for another? Now, this is the guy that said, behold, the Lamb of God. And so he done got twisted up. Because sometimes doubt can set in and you just get in a circumstance and you ever been twisted up? I've been twisted up a time or two. And you got more fear, it seems like, than faith. And Jesus told the disciples, he said, go back and tell John, the lame leap, the deaf can hear, the dead are raised. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but you know the passage. And so they're on their way to tell John, who's in prison, what Jesus said. And Jesus stopped them. And he said, hey, there's one more thing you got to tell him. Blessed is he that's not offended in me. You know what he meant? He said, blessed is the person that I can put my hand in their life and just do like this. And they not have a clue nor understand what I'm doing, but they can come out on the other side blessed and not bitter. Blessed and prosperous in God. And he went on a couple verses down, and he said something to the tune that there's not been a prophet that has rose up as greater than John. And John, I may not make it by to see you. I may not write you a letter, but you'll have a reward, I promise you, on the other side. You know what John was doing? He said, I got to keep fighting. I got to keep pushing. Even when doubt comes in and different things that we have to deal with in our human nature, would you stand? Great message tonight. I really enjoyed it, Brother Brown. Thank you for being ready. And isn't God good? Amen. Amen. We all struggle from time to time in our faith. Even the disciples looked at Jesus and said, Lord, help our unbelief. You know, we're struggling. And we're just like, honestly, we're just like the children of Israel. They saw plague after plague poured out. Every time he poured out a plague, they said, God is with us. And they'd get a half a mile down the road, run out of water. And they say, dear Lord, he's brought us out here to die. I don't know what in the world this guy's doing. We're not much different than that. But God is good. Brother Richards, this is your last service. Come on up here and let us just pray a prayer, a blessing over you. Some of these men can gather around. Love this man very much. And we're going to miss you. And I don't have to ask him, but I know he don't want to go back to Jamaica. But God's going to be with him. Jacob labored. And he labored for Rachel. And he loved her. She was beautiful. And, of course, Laban was a trickster. Jacob had kind of met his match. And, you know, when they finally got through laboring 7 years, he wouldn't give her to him. And he said, what I got to do to get her? And he said, you'll have to serve me another seven. And, of course, Leah wasn't much to look at, according to the scripture, but Rachel was beautiful. And he said, you know what, I'll do it. I'll labor another 7 years. And the scripture says that God made those 7 years but as a few days. And so God can do that. He can make this next ever how long, I don't know for sure. But he can cause it to be like a few days. And so we're going to pray our blessing. Y'all lay hands on him. Father in heaven, we thank you for Brother Richards. We thank you for the man of God that he is, to his family and to the community that he serves. Be with him in travel, God. I pray, God, that you would put a shield in the front and a buckler in the back, God, and that you would help him, strengthen him while he's away. Strengthen his family, God, that'll be here. Lord, I pray that your anointing would rest upon him. Make these last few months, or ever how long it is, make it just be a day or two. We love you. I pray that you would provide for him and his family in every way possible. Show yourself strong and faithful to them. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Brother Brown, thank you once again. Be sure to shake hands with him. And if you have an offering or a tithe, you can place it in the back. We'll see you on Sunday morning, Lord willing. 10:15 pre-service prayer. 10:30 worship. And about 11:15, a little bit of word. I do plan on preaching Sunday morning, so I'm excited for that. But God bless you. You're dismissed.